Hey, NAIA football fans, Corey Thorpe here with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, powered by AdCraft USA, your custom apparel, merch, and uniform experts. Our friends at AdCraft have been with us for many years now. They've run web stores for us multiple times. These guys are NAIA fans and family who are experts in the apparel and merchandise world. AdCraft allows you to take the hassle out of ordering. Let their knowledgeable design and customer service staff handle everything from hosting the store online, shipping the product, and helping your customers so you can get back to the game. Find them online at AdCraftUSA.com. All right, NAIA football fans, this is Corey Thorpe back with another edition of the NAIAF Ball Podcast, brought to you by AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merch, the goats of the industry since 1974. They're the best. Wear my AdCraft. I turn around. I've got. It's a little weird having a picture of yourself on your own back. It's a little meta. But here we are, and unfortunately, I didn't have any good Mid-South shirts to wear today because we are covering the Mid-South. I got Matt Schwartzler back with me this evening, and well. We'll start from the bottom, and at the bottom this year are the Campbellsville Tigers. This has got to be one of the first times we've had a team not be an 0-for or 1-for at the bottom.
I think so. There, you know what? I think there's been a couple, maybe one or two, like Campbellsville with two wins, but zero in conference. But either way, not a bad starting point for the Mid-South. Like, 29th ranked offense in the country for a team that won two games is not too shabby.
Yeah, you just get that really nasty negative split with the defensive problems, giving up 6.5 yards per play. But, I mean, this is as we go through this, you know, this is just a really tough – this is a tough division. You've got 3-4 teams up at the top that really – are good balanced squads, and that's going to make everyone else's defensive numbers especially look like garbage. And unfortunately, Campbellsville's the first one where we come out with it.
Mm-hmm. Totally. On the bright side, though, they do have a lot of pieces coming back. They have a defensive back, Diego Brumfield, coming back with 48 tackles, 4 interceptions, 9 pass breakups, really big staple of that secondary. And offense and defensively, a lot of returners on both sides of the ball. And not to mention, they have a new head coach, Corey.
They do. They get Jacob Russell from Kentucky Christian to come over. And so if I know one thing, it's that you're going to see a lot of sling in the football around. Kentucky Christian has been a very pass heavy team, and that's definitely you'll definitely see that continue.
Yeah, and I mean, with everything they bring back on offense and how well they did last season, like, you're looking at a team that could just absolutely explode on offense.
Yeah, absolutely. You return most of that offense, including your quarterback, Jaeger Gillis. I was thinking about it. We had Hennessy a couple weeks ago, and now we have Jaeger. We're just going through the cabinet here. You know, you've got all your running backs and basically all your wide receivers back. That's a recipe for success. You just got to make sure that your defense grows along with it and is able to match that offense. But that's hard to do sometimes when you're coming from the bottom.
Yeah, for sure. But they at least have enough pieces in play to where they can make it work. But the rest of this conference is pretty damn good. So it'll be hard to work your way up.
You know,
they can do it.
One of the teams that I'm really interested in and watching them claw their way up is Cumberland. I mean, it's the team with, you know, we hear about Cumberland every year, you know, and I know they probably get tired of hearing the number 222 bandied about. But I mean, it's NAIA history, and it is Cumberland history, and
it was also the last time Georgia Tech was good at football, I think.
You know, something like that. You know, and so this is a team that runs now triple option, flex bone. Had a good defense last year to Tim Mathis' squad. Yeah. You talk about, you know, you got some new head coaches, some second-year head coaches. Tim Mathis has been around this Cumberland Phoenix team for, like, 40 forevers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But a good defense coming back and helps on that offense. One of the big things you've got is Treylon Shepherd, your running back, coming back, and Ronaldo Marmoleo on your offensive line. Shepherd was a 577-yard back last year. Bryson Hill, the all-purpose wide receiver, had a 25.6-yard kick return average. Didn't do much on the offensive side, but when you're a triple-option team, there's not exactly an ample amount of balls being tossed your way. So it's definitely a team that could improve. You're in a good spot. Cumberland is right outside of Nashville, Tennessee, fertile recruiting area there. You've got success in other areas, especially the round ball, which brings up the question, is Cumberland the NAIA Vanderbilt?
Oh.
I think they're better than that.
You probably have a better idea. Yeah, I think so. I think Vanderbilt's on the up right now, too.
You know, Vanderbilt's in the same spot. I mean, they're basically in Nashville.
Same spot.
You know,
same
it's...
Same problem.
Same, yeah. Definitely, there's definitely a lot of parallels there, except that Vanderbilt, unfortunately, for those of us who like football the way God intended, they don't run the triple option.
I think something important to note too about the offense and like this triple option grounded pound styles, it's a lot less plug and play. You very much need guys that are comfortable with the timings and, just the scheme and what's trying to be accomplished more so than with a now typical spread type of offense. So them bringing back a lot of guys on offense, I think, helps them out a lot. I think you've seen it with programs like Dort in the past who have made that work. And like, once it clicks, it really clicks and it works really well. So just a matter of keeping guys around the program and trusting that process.
And this is a team that returns Luke Holloway at quarterback, and really a triple option team. The quarterback is still the most important position on the field because he's still reading the defense as much, if not more than, a spread modern offense. You got to know where to get the ball to. You know, you go in belly, or you go on the speed option. I mean, it's there's a lot of repetition that goes into it, and I think you're right. And this is a Cumberland Phoenix that, you know, look, even when Lindsey Wilson was going to national championships and was going to semifinals, this is a team that was giving Lindsey Wilson trouble. You know, good defense, keep it away on offense. It's a recipe for being a tough out.
Yeah. Definitely one of those teams that is in almost every game, no matter what.
Now we go from Nashville, Tennessee to the Gump, Montgomery, Alabama, the Never Fail Faulkner Eagles. I hate that I don't have the man, the myth, the legend, John Cooper here to talk Faulkner with me. I really do like they've. John wasn't
I was
real
gonna say,
big.
Is that
on
a new logo?
It. I think. A year or two ago, John, it's taken him a while to get up with the new Eagle, but honestly, I really like it. It's simple.
I dig it.
It has enough details to where you can tell it's an Eagle, and the outline is sharp. And I will give Faulkner a shout out. They had a brand styling guide that I was able to pull this eagle out of, and for media guys,
we love that.
Oh, it's so nice to be able to go.
For anybody listening that works for an NAIA athletic department in any form, please find a way to make a branding guide
with
and
large,
please find a way to make it public.
Large, high quality images, if you please. I've been on Faulkner's campus. It's a pretty campus, known for their law school. And you know, I have to do it now that John's not here. But again, we see this really big negative split, 12th to 71st. Even for a team that's approaching that 500, nearly 500 range, you're still seeing a pretty big split.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just always so weird to see. It will never not be weird to see that big of a split. But on offense, obviously, they had Javion Tucker with 600 plus yards, 11 touchdowns, leaving that offensive unit, which is a big hit for them. He was a big part of what they did last year. They do have on the defensive side of the ball, Jalen Clemens coming back, kind of a staple of that secondary on a defense that wasn't doing so hot, but was certainly a staple of the good things you had going on back there. And they have all of that 12th ranked offense pretty much coming back, which is huge.
Apart from Tucker, Tucker's basically the only one leaving out of that wide receiver room, and you get pretty much everything else back, including your signal caller, Ben Anderson. I was kind of sad to see Tucker leave. I mean, he was only a sophomore listed on the roster. And so, man, you hate to see that with someone who was able to haul in 11 touchdowns. You know, Faulkner is apt to get guys from odd places. You know, they'll find a 60-year-old kicker sometimes and put him in the ball game. True story. Kids out of Florida State before. Also true story. They will find guys wherever they can, and that is a piece that I think going to spoil it here. You may see some folks at the end call Faulkner the dark horse of the Mid-South. You know, a team that's kind of flying under the radar. I can see it, honestly, being kind of that under-the-radar squad.
Totally.
Next up, we go to one of the first ones that we'll remark of second-year head coaches. Last year, we really did have a coaching carousel in the Mid-South, and so you've got a lot of guys who are entering that pivotal second year. Shan Housekeeper at Cumberland is one of those, and you know, Cumberland is used to getting close to the playoffs and in some years, you know, so a little bit of a disappointment for them, but it was a late move, if I remember correctly, and I think Coach Housekeeper is going to be able to get this turned around a little bit here in Kentucky.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at those numbers, they still were able to be pretty productive on both sides of the ball, obviously playing in a tough conference, and their out-of-conference slate, I believe, was pretty difficult, was it not?
Have to go look here real quick.
I know they won those, but I feel like they were against pretty decent teams. Either way, you know, there's a lot of pieces there. A lot of guys on this roster have watched this team or played on this team when they went to the playoff not super long ago, like 2 years ago, right?
Yeah, it has not been long at all. No, you are correct. I mean, let's see. Last year... No, they did not play any out-of-conference last year, just going back through the schedule. But, I mean, you're also playing, like, Southeastern a couple years ago.
Yeah.
You know, so this is a team that is used to tough matchups. You've got a lot returning, too, especially on defense. All three levels there. You've got one first-team All-Mid-South in Kendall Adams Young, with 11 and a half tackles for loss and 5 sacks. I mean, that's right up Coach Housekeeper's alley, the former defensive coordinator for Georgetown here, getting some key players back.
Yeah, definitely. And it's on, I mean, a lot of these returning guys are on the defensive side of the ball, but I think it is worth noting that they still return pretty much all of their offense. A lot of those guys getting a second chance to run that back. Probably put up a lot better numbers to get them in that all-conference conversation.
The one that is leaving that I do want to point out is Kumi Sarpong. who has been an absolute beast, and a double team drawer. 44 tackles, 13 tackles for loss, 7.5 sacks last year. So that's going to be a piece that if you're Kendall Adams Young, now you're going to take those double teams instead of Kumi. And you've got to figure out a way to get over and around those doubles and still make that same amount of impact. But before we go to a really loaded top half of the Mid-South, let's take a quick break with a word from our friends from Adcraft.
So you want to create and sell custom merch for your team or business. That's exciting, but where do you begin? How much inventory should you order? How do you distribute orders? Adcraft has your answers. Streamline the way you offer custom merch by utilizing our risk-free web store service. We ship directly to each customer, and we have the fastest turnaround in the game. Raise funds for your team or get merch to your employees and patrons. Contact Adcraft today, and let's bring your merch to life.
Absolutely. Some of the greatest to do it, and we are so thankful for their support. And look, I wasn't kidding about it being a very top-loaded division. I mean, the first one up here is Georgetown. You put Georgetown in terms of, Carroll and teams like that. Georgetown is NAIA royalty. And next up on our list of coaches in their second year is Chris Oliver, coming over to Georgetown last year from Lindsey Wilson. And has a pretty decent first year with a team that was pretty much not his own, transitioning from a team that ran a lot of traditional formation, ground and pound, to a more modern style of offense. And you see there's some growing pains there on offense, the 55th in the nation. But man, when you got the second best defense in the land, that'll keep you in a couple games.
Yeah, it'll keep you in a couple games. It'll win you a lot more. This defense was absolutely disgusting last year, like, to put it lightly, without saying any profanities. Just unreal unit, especially up front. That front seven was just ridiculous last year.
Yeah, DJ White was really good. You see he's leaving there. 14.5 tackles for loss, 4 pass breakups from the D-line spot. You've got 2 all-conference linebackers, including 1 first-teamer in Chad Holleran. You bring back Holleran and Standifer, who combined for 163 tackles, 11 pass breakups, 5 picks. It's an embarrassing amount of wealth here on defense, especially that's coming back. And you got to be licking your chops if you're Chris Oliver. You got to be really excited about what this season brings coming back. And
I don't know. I mean, they have so many of these pieces returning, and you'd think the growing pains year two would be a bit better. Like, I don't. When we were talking about, making our picks to win the conference, the top three, it's just who's got who on what day. Like, that's what it comes down to. I have no clue. I could pick any 3 of these teams going into next season to win the entire conference and probably pick one of them to go to the semis. Like, they are just so loaded on both sides of the ball. Even Georgetown, who had, like you said, growing pains, like, the talent's there. Once they get settled into the system, they will be just fine.
Absolutely. And, yeah, you return a majority of that defense. Pretty much all of them were all-conference. You return nearly all your offense, including Garrick Sluniker, who, is young, coming back with most of his wide receivers. You're going to be fine if you're used to that championship feeling in Georgetown. And you're talking about, we talked about Cumberland's earlier being right outside of Nashville. Well, Georgetown's right outside of Lexington, which is, what, 2 hours away from Cincinnati?
Yeah.
You've got fertile recruiting grounds, a long history of doing amazing things in this league. You're going to be all right.
Totally.
And as if we couldn't have more, we have the Bethel Wildcats. John's pick from last year, I kind of side-eyed him when he made that pick, but it turns out my man was right, and was right by a wide margin. 11-1, 8-0 in the Mid-South. Fifth in SP Plus with the fifth-ranked defense and the 18th-ranked offense. And this is where we start to break it up into two.
There's just so many guys coming back for this team. And first team all-conference, might I add, are all these guys returning for them. They have their quarterback, running back, two receivers, offensive line, and kick returner. If that's not the most explosive unit in this conference with them all coming back, like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, it's insane.
Yeah.
And the fact that they were all on an 18th ranked offense, like, you have to think the sky's the limit. I would not be surprised if they're a top five offensive team in the country next year.
It's a couple big pieces there. You do lose two all conference offensive linemen between Cole Lyles and Tyler McQueen. You lose Davius Prather, who's nearly a 900 yard receiver, was good for 22 yards per catch. He's a literal chunk play. And 10 touchdowns. And Quayshon Ford, you can't overstate the value of a good, solid tight end.
100%. Yeah.
You know, defensively, the cupboard is a little bit more bare for you, as you don't really have a ton coming back other than Demetrius Gilbert, which, you know, never underestimated a defensive back who also returns kicks, but You're losing Daryl Middleton, Nick Andrews, Jacoby Griffin, Brandon Moore, and sadly, I hate to report this, you're losing the best name in the NAIA. Devious Chrisman had the best name in the NAIA. No questions asked.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. But yeah, I think still the outlook for this team is really good, even with all those guys leaving. Like I said, you have a lot of staples returning on that offensive side of the ball with pretty much your entire quarterback room coming back, most of your running backs, and even still most of your receivers. Defense is probably where you're going to have a bit of a question mark, but it's still most of that D-line coming back, a lot of those linebackers coming back. That DB room is probably the one you're looking at and wondering who they're going to be able to plug in there. I guess I can wait to give my opinion when we make our picks, but I think they'll be just fine. I think they will. There's enough talent there.
And again, as if the riches don't keep on going, we've got Lindsey Wilson as our top ranked team in the NAIA, according to SP Plus, third in the nation in that metric, 10-2, 7-1 a year ago, and almost top 10 in both offense and defense, 11th in offense, 7th in defense. Phil Kleckler, the second-year head coach. Again, we go on that thing. You see a lot of things occur in the second year of a coach's tenure, a lot of good things as they get themselves going. And, again, we have to have two screens here. Three all-conference defensive linemen
returning. Yeah,
I
game wreckers. Like, that's the only way you can describe that entire unit, and the fact that they're all coming back is just terrifying.
Games one of the trenches there for sure. And you know, but you do lose a lot of players that were the heart and soul of the team that won that national championship. Jaleel Warren, Kobe Belcher, Luke Bowman, who there have been several Mid-South coaches who have told me that they have nightmares about Luke Bowman. Ian Souter, the kicker punter, Kayshawn Beasley, that's a lot of, I hate to say key pieces, but that's a lot of pieces that are worth their leadership just as much as their play.
100%. And it's hard to tell. It doesn't obviously come up on any stat sheet. Like, the only guys that really know the impact of those guys leaving are the coaches and the players in the locker room. But you do get those first team conference guys that leave. Like, most of the time they are in a position of leadership, which adds an extra element to it. Especially like Luke Bowman being the heart and soul of that defense for what seems like forever now. I don't know. Maybe I just don't understand time properly, but I feel like we've been talking about that dude for a few years now.
100%. I mean, and you do return a majority on offense and defense. It's a very nice thing to have, but it's not as much as some of the others. One thing I will note, and this seems a good time to do it, but just to recognize the work of the former Lindsey Wilson signal caller, Cameron Dukes, the backup quarterback for the Toronto Argonauts. You're backing up a guy that went to Ole Miss and Clemson, Chad Kelly. And you think about it, Chad Kelly is not exactly known for his sound decision-making. And so if you're the Toronto football operations folks, you got to have a quarterback who you trust to back up someone who could get himself suspended.
Yeah.
And the fact that you've gone
the guy for the job,
right? And you think that Cam Dukes is the guy for the job. He is absolutely making us proud. Toronto is doing well. I mean, just watching some of the preseason stuff, Dukes was acquitting himself nicely. So definitely a good spot to chat about that. And we're definitely proud of all of our folks that are playing, whether it's overseas, whether it's in the Canadian League, and the one or two that we've got playing for the NFL. We try to call them out whenever we can here. All right, and the moment you've all been waiting for, let's get to some picks here. It's so hard to do. I mean, there's so many good... Okay, usually, up to this point, we've had either a write-it-in winner or a write-it-in dark horse. It was hard on both of these. Went back and forth on both options here. And I'll say who else I strongly considered along with it, just for being transparent. I'm going with Georgetown to win it. I think they've got enough coming back. I think that defense is going to be insane again. And I think that the other two teams at the top are going to just falter just enough to let Georgetown by. That being said, Bethel could very well win this one outright again. There's no question in my mind that now that Mike Jasper's got it rolling over there at Bethel, you could see them back in it after losing very early on to Kaiser in the playoffs, might have a little chip on their shoulder. You'll see a theme for me. Second-year head coach is my dark horse is going to be Cumberland's. I think Shan Housekeeper gets that defense in order. And they have very high standards over there. The coach previous to Housekeeper parted ways mutually, and it was a team that was getting into the playoffs. It's a tough place to coach, but if you do well, that you can be rewarded. I also heavily considered Faulkner here. But I think that second-year head coach there, along with what they've got coming back, gives Cumberland an edge. John is going Georgetown as well, believing in the Tigers and the history there. And he's obviously going for Faulkner, because why would John ever choose anybody else to be his dark horse? That's, well, I mean, you know, you got to. Matt, who you got?
I'm going Bethel. I don't know. I just, something about that team, the way they played last year, the pieces they have coming back on offense. Obviously, there are a couple defensive question marks, but I just think they will be so solid of a unit. They're definitely still, you know, hurting from last year's playoffs, where you felt like that team could have made a deeper run. I just think they put it all together. It was between, I mean, any three of the top three teams, Lindsey, Wilson, Georgetown, Bethel, it's going to come down to, like, I don't know. Like I said earlier, just who's got whose number on what day. That's ultimately it. But my gut tells me Bethel, so I'm going with it. For my dark horse, I'm going Cumberland's also, like you did, Corey. For the same reasons I didn't pick Faulkner, just because I think Cumberland's has the slight edge in who they're returning. And very much so being a rebound year for them last year, rather than what was their standard. I'm expecting them to bank it off the glass and, you know, LeBron coming from behind, like just jamming it in type of thing. I think they will be a solid fourth team in this conference. I even think they'll be good enough to give the top three trouble. This is a team that's been to the peak of that mountain before. They've seen the top. They've been close. They know what it feels like. And I think it just won't be hard for them to get back to that.
Yeah, completely agree with you on that dark horse, and there's no way for me to disagree with you on the winner. I went back and forth on it, like I said myself. It's
a vibes pick. Like, I can't even use any sort of logic to decide it because it's so close. It's like,
yeah,
what is my gut telling me?
I mean, and we compare this. This is right up there, one of the best conferences, one of the best divisions in the NAI, with an average SP plus of 33.57 and a standard deviation of 25.14, which is on the lower side of what we've seen standard deviation wise. So top to bottom, they are rather well distributed, packed together. And that average SP plus is one of the highest we've seen, excepting the GPAC, who had a larger standard dev, but a much, much better SP plus. Obviously, when you've got one and two, that really does help you out. But we go from teams at the top to our team at the top, our patrons. Got a couple more to add to the list today. Got two full columns. If you want to force me to do work and make the font smaller, I would be more than happy to make the font smaller and then put in a third column. Join our team, the team behind the team, here at NAIF Ball, the team that helps us do what we do on a monthly basis. And that's going to be DSU Cone, Darren, Bob Boone, Roger Meyer, Jeremy Vobel, Shirley LaBella, Fred Christensen, Jerry Quickle, Ace Wellen, Marty C. Bolt, Justin Cobb, Nick Ryan, Hayden Ferrigno, Kyle Gregory, Tyler Pierce, Justin Hoffman, Steve Speakman, Brian Shake, Julianne Shager, Nate Soapbeer, Stephen Cutler, Julie Lout, Tim Burrow, Dale Norton, Nathan Moore, Dylan Gonzalez, Ryan, and newcomer Jason Crawford. Welcome to the team, Jason. Glad to have you on with us. So, that's going to be it for this week. Man, in as much as I was excited to do the Mid-South, because I love covering those teams, we have got the best fans in the NAI, I think, coming up in the next two podcasts, and that's going to be the fans from each side of the Mid-States Football Association.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
I'm really interested to see the standard deviation on the West. I think it's going to be super, super tiny. And I'm interested to see what the East has coming back. That's always a gauntlet. Going to have to get some answers. I think Marion's in the East again this year, but the West is looking really, really thin. Have they moved Marion over? No one's got a straight answer yet. So
we might have some next time.
plus, Marion, I hear a little birdie telling me things. Is getting new helmets, replacing the MU shield. Is that going to be a good graphic choice or not? You'll hear from two absolute guys with, one has credentials on being able to talk graphics. Another guy just likes helmets.
It's enough.
It'll do. I mean,
it'll do.
you've listened to two guys chat football for 30 plus minutes. You'll be all right. But for Matt Schwartzler, I'm Corey Thorpe, and we will see y'all next week. We hope you enjoyed this episode of the NAIAF Ball Podcast presented by AdCraft USA. Be sure to contact them for all your custom apparel, merch, and uniform needs. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to the podcast as well as to our YouTube channel. Leave us a review if you're listening on Apple Podcasts. As always, if you'd like to support what we do, head over to patreon.com/NAIAFBALL and become a patron. We can't do what we do without our sponsors and listeners like you.